Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beitza, daf Yates. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're about to start the second opinion of the Gemara. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned Lezecher Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The Gemara, the Mishnah, back on Yudzayin Amud Beis, on the very bottom, discussed tefillah. So tefillah and a mikvah. So can I not do that on Yontif? The Mishnah described in the context of Shabbos Yontif, meaning Shabbos immediately followed by Yontif. So Yontif, we want to be tahor. We want to go into Yontif in a state of tahara. So how do we do it? So obviously before Yontif, we tovel in the mikvah, not on Yontif itself, but before Yontif. The Gemara later on is going to point out it has to be before Yontif because we know anytime that we're dealing with a tahara, so you need to be, you need to tovel in the mikvah. You need what's called erev shemesh. You need to wait until the sun sets. So the Mishnah is describing the scenario where I have Shabbos followed then by Sunday, so what do I do? So the Mishnah says, what do I do? So you tovel before Shabbos. Not only do you tovel before Shabbos, but your kelim tovel before Shabbos as well. What about on Shabbos itself? So that was the machlok chim beit shammai beit hillel. First of all, where do they agree? They agree that you cannot tovel your kelim on Shabbos itself. Sorry. You can't tovel your kelim on Shabbos itself. That they agree to. The reason why is what is going to be most of Daf Yerches, in terms of what Daf Yerches is discussing. In terms of you, yourself, can you tovel in the mikvah? So that's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, no, you can't. And Beis Hillel says, yes, you can. Which also we're going to be discussing later on as well. Okay, your kelim. Your kelim can't go into the mikvah on Shabbos. Why not? So we saw yesterday, there are going to be four explanations given in the Gemara. So we saw yesterday explanation number one. Rabbah of the Gemara, of the Maraim. So he says that you can't tovel your kelim on Shabbos because Shema Yavirenu, you're going to end up picking up your kli on Shabbos and carry it and bring it from location to location, from your house to the mikvah, from your mikvah back to your house. And good chances are, you're going to go four amos and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And Rabbah says that's why you can't do it. The Gemara pointed out yesterday, okay, that's good for Shabbos. What about in Yontif? The same ban, the same restriction of toveling on Shabbos is true on Yontif as well. But in Yontif, there's no problem. You're allowed to carry on Yontif. So why would there be an Isra on Yontif? So the Gemara says, low plug. There's no differentiation. There's no distinction. And then the Gemara pointed out that we do find a number of times where there is a differentiation, where it is okay to tovel on Yontif. And the Gemara went through different scenarios where it would be okay. To which the Gemara basically ended up saying to all those different scenarios, those are exceptions, those are exclusions, those are yotzim in a klal. Again, with every rule, there are exceptions. And so the Gemara carved out a couple of exceptions where it would be okay to tovel on Shabbos or on Yontif, but generally speaking, you're not allowed to. Generally speaking, lo plug. Okay, so a person of one given by the Gemara, and that's by Rabbah, is Gzeres Shamayavirena Dal Amos Bereshos Rabbim. I may carry it four Amos and a Rishos Rabbim. We pointed out yesterday, Rabbah's consistent, meaning this is the same reason why you can't take a lulav when Shabbos and Sukkot coincide. Same reason why you can't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos coincide. Same reason why you don't read Megillah when Purim and Shabbos coincide. Nowadays, with a fixed calendar, that won't happen, at least outside of Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, it does happen. And then what happens in Yerushalayim on Purim, on Shushan Purim, when it falls out on Shabbos? Mass confusion. Okay, but anyway, but that's three day Purim. Yeah, you understand. Okay, back to the Gemara here at large. Rav Yosef Amar. We are on Yerches Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. This is now reason number two. Reason number two why you can't tovel kelim on Shabbos. Gzer Mishum Schita. Because remember, when we say kelim, we're talking about both utensils and we're talking about clothing. So you take your clothing and you tovel in the mikvah. And then what's going to happen is you're going to come out of the mikvah. Your clothing now is saturated with water, and so you're going to end up squeezing it. Squeezing it is a malacha. So for schita is a tolada of dash. It's a subcategory of dash. So the so it's mishum schita. So you're going to squeeze it. So amalei abai tenech kelim debnei schita ninu kelim dalav bnei schita ninu ma'ikal amemar. So once again, the Gemara says if that's a concern, so that's a limited concern. That would be true by clothing. But you take your dishes and you tovel in the mikvah, don't worry about squeezing your dishes. That's not happening. So then why is it that you would not be allowed to tovel your kelim in a mikvah? So the Gemara says, I'm like Zerahani Atuani. And again, the Gemara says, lo plug. Again, In other words, the shechita reason is only going to be an explanation for the clothing. And as far as all the other tefillahs, why you can't do it on Yontav and on Shabbos, so the Gemara says that's simply low plug. Now the Gemara says, now, go back over yesterday's daf. Go back over all the different exceptions that we talked about. We talked about, remember, just a quick review. We talked about drawing water with a jug, with a pail. So we said that's okay, even if the pail is going to receive a tahara. We talked about a kli that becomes tamei on yantiv itself. So we said that's okay. We talked about a kli receiving tumah with a vlad. So we said that's okay. So there are a couple of exceptions, and the Gemara said, yeah, but they are exceptions because lo shchiach, or it's dealing with kohanim. Again, we gave answers yesterday to all those exceptions. So the Gemara says, so we could ask all the same questions against Rav Yosef, but the truth of the matter is that we can give all the same defenses. So there are exceptions, they're lo shchiach. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, review. Rabbi Be'amar Gzeri Shem Yisha. A third proposal in terms of why I can't tovel kelim on Shabbos, and that's because if I'm allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos, so you know what's going to happen, we're going to delay. Meaning, right, before Shabbos, where everyone's running around, everyone's excited, it's a big tumult, and what you do with your time is basically you triage your time. Meaning, I can only do so much in one given day. Toveling my kelim, I know it's on my checklist, but you know what, if I can do it on Shabbos, I won't do it right now. I'll do it on Shabbos itself. And I'll be shoheh, and I'll delay. And the problem with that, explains Rashi, is that if you're shoheh, so eventually what's going to end up happening is that you're going to have kelim which are tameh, you're going to put truma in the kli which is tameh. You should have toveled it before Shabbos, but again, it's on your checklist of things to do, and you'll just simply, you'll delay it. And then your truma that you put in your kli is going to become tameh, and you're going to lose your truma. So therefore, the Chachamim placed a ban against toveling on Shabbos so that you put it higher on your checklist of things to do on Erev Shabbos. You will take care of it as soon as you can. Similar to shaving on Chol HaMoed, right? There was an issur d'Rabbanan to shave during Chol HaMoed. So the Chachamim said, why? The Gemara says, why? Because if there's an allowance to shave on Chol HaMoed, so then people just look at their checklist and say, shave? Okay, let's skip it because I could do it anyway during Chol HaMoed. So in other words, then, so for fear that people won't take care of it before Yontif, so therefore the Chacham said you can't do it during Chol HaMoed itself. So similarly, over here, the same thing. Meaning that if we allowed the kelim to be toveled on Shabbos, so people won't take care of it beforehand, and that will lead to possibly the Truma becoming tummy. And finally, last and certainly not least, is Rava. Rava Amar on the bottom of the... I'm sorry, I just skipped a couple lines of Gemara. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Bibi, the Gemara quotes a brisa that supports Rav Bibi. So in other words, interesting, right? When it comes to Rava and it comes to Rav Yosef, so they espouse an opinion and they don't have Tanya Idik support. Rav Bibi does. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Bibi, Klishan in Rambe Rav Yantav, Ein Mazbil on Sama Yantav, Gzer Shem Yisha. The brisa says it straight out. That there's a concern that maybe that you'll delay and you won't tovel it prior to Shabbos. Okay, why doesn't the Gemara just quote the Brisa and simply say that this Brisa is keneged the opinion of Rabban? This is the Brisa keneged Rav Yosef. So it could be my speculation. So do with it as you will, but it could very well be that simply there may not be one reason why the Chachamim prohibited, meaning by Gzeres the Rabbanan. There doesn't have to be just one and only one explanation, one reason why the Chachamim banned it. It could very well be that each one of them is reflecting a different reason why the Chachamim banned it. So the Brisa is not exactly a kasha against Rabban or Rav Yosef. Continuing, Rava Amar, Av Mimnesh Nir Kimisak and Kli. So we have the fourth explanation of the Gemara. Why can't you tovel on Shabbos? Because Nir Kimisak and it looks like you're fixing something. Meaning, when you're fixing something, so that means the Torah prohibits on Shabbos one of the 39 malachas of repairing. You have something which is in disrepair, like a musical instrument, or just but one example, and you repair it on Shabbos, so that's what's called makeh bepatish, putting the final blow in something, so now it's a finished product. So here, you're not physically repairing it, but halachically you're repairing it. Prior to my toveling in the mikvah, I couldn't use it for truma or for anything which is tahor. And now that I tovel in the mikvah, so now I could use it. So it's ki'ilu, it's as if I'm repairing it. Right? If you read the Gemara carefully, it's near a kimisakin. It looks like you're repairing. The Gemara is saying it's not actually makeh bepatish, but certainly looks that way. It gives off the impression And that's why the Chachamim ban toveling on Shabbos. Ihachi adam nami. Okay, good. So now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Good. So now we have laid out in front of us four different reasons why it is that you can't tovel kelim in a mikvah on Shabbos. Just quickly to review, Rabbi says, I may carry, I may end up carrying dal amos b'shus rabim. Number two is I may do schita, I may wring out the clothing. Number three, Rav Yosef, sorry. Number three, Rav Bibi, is I may delay, and I may end up putting truma in the kli that I should have toveled earlier, but I didn't. And finally, number four, near kemisakin, it looks like I'm going to fix something. Okay, with these four reasons that are given, so now the Gemara is going to turn its attention to the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah says that you cannot tovel kelim on Shabbos and Yantav, and everybody agrees to that, Beisham and Beisilo, but you can tovel yourself. If you need a tefillah, so you can tovel in the mikvah on Shabbos. And now let's think about it, what's the difference? What's the difference between you and your kelim? So interestingly enough, I mean the Gemara doesn't spell this out, but let's just think this through. If the reasons were any one of the aforementioned reasons, 1 through 3, you'd be okay. Meaning the difference, I think, is self-evident. Meaning if it's dalat amos b'rishus harabim, you're going to carry. We're talking about you. You're not, right? You're not going to get carried 4 amos and a b'rishus harabim to go to the mikvah. So the difference between you and your kelim are well understood. And if the reason is shema yischot, you may squeeze out. Now it's true you do have hair, right? We all have hair, and so we may end up squeezing the hair. So maybe the question could be asked, what's the difference between the kelim and you? But you don't have to squeeze your hair. And okay, maybe we can generate the question. Shema yishah, maybe delay. I don't know. In other words, by kelim, the fear is that if you don't tovel the kli, you're going to put shum on the kli. And okay, but you yourself, what's the real concern? You're going to delay, meaning when you tovel in the mikvah, you tovel in the mikvah. So, but this fourth reason, near kemisakein. So the Gemara over here really doesn't see a difference. Meaning, what's the problem with toveling in the mikvah on Shabbos? So according to Rava, the final explanation, it looks like you're fixing. Meaning you were in a, the kli was in a position where it couldn't be used for tahara, now it could. Really, this is what's going to bother the Gemara, the same thing could be said about you. You were in a position where you couldn't go into the Beit HaMikdash, you couldn't eat karbanos, you couldn't handle truma and kachim, and now you could. So the same concern of Nir Kemisakin, which is true regarding the utensils, shouldn't that be true regarding you as well? So the Gemara asks this question. E hachi, we're 4 lines down in the bottom of Yudches Amud Aleph. E hachi adam nami. So the Gemara says, can we say the same thing regarding a person? Nir Kemisakin. To which the Gemara's answer is, adam Nir Kemekar. So the Gemara says, no, there's going to be a fundamental difference. When you're going to go take a dip in a small little pool, so it could very well be that it's a really hot Shabbos and you just need to cool off, and so you go into the mikvah. Now, just a brief couple of introductory points to this, and then we'll go on. So basically what the Gemara is saying is, nah, it doesn't look like you're fixing yourself, because it could very well be that you're just taking a bath. Now, didn't you and I think that taking a bath on Shabbos is prohibited? Meaning, the excuse that you're giving in terms of why it is it's not near kemisakein is because maybe you're really just taking a bath. Just taking a cool dip in the I would say pool, but whatever, yeah. So, isn't taking a bath on Shabbos prohibited? So, not exactly. Meaning, yes and no. Just going back to some of the things that we discussed back to Masechta Shabbos. Taking a bath in hot water is prohibited. Now, heating up the water on Shabbos, that's a biblical prohibition. That's a malacha. What about taking a bath in water that was heated before Shabbos? So in other words, you didn't heat the water on Shabbos, the water was heated before Shabbos. Is that okay? That's rabbinically prohibited. And the Chachamim were worried. Once there was an allowance to take a bath in hot water on Shabbos, even if the water was heated before Shabbos, but very well may be that you put your toe in and it's not hot enough, and then you're going to end up heating it even more. Fine. So in other words, taking a bath in hot water on Shabbos is prohibited. If you heat the water on Shabbos, obviously an Issa D'Oraisa. If you heat the water before Shabbos, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. What about taking a bath in cold water? Meaning just whatever the water comes out naturally. Right? So that is not prohibited. Not min HaTorah and not min D'Rabbanan. There has been a minhag that's been adopted now for many years, centuries, where we don't take a bath even in cold water on Shabbos. But that's a minhag. Yeah, right. In other words, the halacha brings down that we don't take baths even in cold water. But that's not a din from the Gemara. That's a din that came out later on. Okay, and Rav Moshe, okay, just off topic, but Rav Moshe says showering in cold water may be okay, but on Shabbos. But okay, anyway, that's neither here nor there. Meaning it's important, but just not for our discussion. Good. So in other words, what the Gemara is now saying is as follows. Again, we're talking about basically dipping into cold water, which on Shabbos you're allowed to do. It's not asur min haTorah, it's not asur min haRabbanan. We today have a minhag not to, but it's not asur. Good. So now the Gemara is explaining, here's the story. When a person dips in the water, and it's a really hot day, so yeah, he's toveling in the mikvah. But it's not near a kimisakim because very well his behavior could be explained as he's just trying to cool down. Okay, that's the Gemara's formulation in terms of what's the difference between your kalim versus you. So So the Gemara says, okay, but that's a great explanation if we're talking about nice clean water, nice clean mikvah water. What if it's not nice clean mikvah water? I'm sure we've all had an experience at one point or another. It's not nice clean mikvah water. We're going to go in anyway because we need the tefillah. But if it were for the purposes of cooling down or bathing, I wouldn't be stepping foot in that. So Michael and Amber, so the Gemara says, so what do you say? Meaning, what justification does a person have to go into that on Shabbos? Amar Rav Nachman, it's like Pamim Shadam Ba B'Sherev. So the Gemara says, "No, you're shmoiling. You're coming in a total heat wave, and you are just totally you're wiped out. And you need any water. You don't really care what kind of water it is. The Gemara here describes it even may mishra, right? Water that's used for soaking flax. It's dirty water, but you're so hot and bothered, you're ready to go into that as well. So the Gemara says, okay, we could." Still, the behavior can be explained away. So the Gemara says, great. All this works in the summer months, but what about in the cold winter months? Where in the cold winter months, where in Eretz Yisrael, it's cold and it's raining, and when are you ever going to be in a scenario where I need to go take a dip in a bath of water? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara's response to that is, even in the winter, you're coming back, you're walking, you walk through a couple of mud piles, you step perhaps in some dog leftover, and okay, so in other words, so now you're back home, but you're foul smelling, and so it could very well be that even in the winter, even the cold winter months, you're still going to want to take just a short dip in a cold bath. So once again, in all these scenarios, it's possible that you're toveling in the mikvah, and really your primary purpose is to receive a tahara. And what about near kimisake? And so the Gemara says no, because we can also argue that he's just trying to cool himself down or clean himself off.
No, this doesn't mean that has to be the
hefa timsa,
right?
No, just as...
It's not self-evident. Correct.
As long as we can explain away the behavior so that the conclusion of the observer doesn't have to be near kimisake. That's all the Gemara is presenting. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, good. All this works on Shabbos. Now, what about Yom Kippur? There's a funny discussion about to occur in the Gemara. What about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur. Okay, but we're not talking about bathing. We're talking about Tefillah B'Mikvah, meaning on Yom Kippur, you're Tameh, and you want a Tahara. And so you go into the Mikvah, even on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, okay, but here again, the problem, according to Rav, with toveling the mikvah is near kimisakin. It looks like you're fixing yourself. And the reason why for a person it's okay is because we can explain the behavior in another method. And the other method is, well, just washing himself off. Well, just washing himself off, I can understand on Shabbos and on Yantiv, but you can't understand in Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur, you can tovel in the mikvah, but you can't wash yourself off. Right? We all understand. Toveling in the mikvah inevitably means you'll be in a bath of water. And yeah, there will be cleansing happening. But that's not bathing. Bathing means going into the water for the primary purpose of washing yourself off. But on Yom Kippur, there's an Issur Rechitza. And meanwhile, you're allowed to tovel in the mikvah. And now, when you see somebody toveling in the mikvah on Yom Kippur, there's only but one explanation. And that's Nirik Kemisakin. So what allowance is there to tovel on Yom Kippur? So Tenach B'Shabbos, the Gemara says, let me just read the Gemara inside. Tenach B'Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Mai Ikal HaMeimar. So what do you say about Yom Kippur? I'm Rava Mikamidi, the Bishab Sharv Yom Kippur Master. So Rava says Mikamidi. Mikamidi, you're gonna hear this kind of argument often in the Gemara. Mikamidi says, look, in of itself, you're right. The point stands as a great point. But just simply it's an impossible conclusion. The impossible conclusion of something being permitted on Shabbos but prohibited on Yom Kippur. Meaning Shabbos, Yom Kippur, what's more chamor? I understand Yom Kippur is a holy day. But in other words, but we're learning Gemara now, so we could say it. Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Shabbos. Shabbos is an Issachar race. Shabbos goes above Yom Kippur. So it's an impossible conclusion that something could be okay on Shabbos, but not okay on Yom Kippur. That's Mikamidi. That's the Gemara's argument. And so the Gemara says, and this is what Rava says, Mikamidi de Shabbos Shari over Yom Kippur Masr. Ella, whole of a Shabbos Shari, Yom Kippur Nami Shari. Okay, so look, you're right. In a vacuum, we don't have a right to say that you can tovel on Yom Kippur. But we don't live in a vacuum. There is an allowance to tovel on Shabbos, and once there's an allowance to tovel on Shabbos, so you can tovel on Yom Kippur as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, now, this is operating on the principle of what the Gemara referred to as a mi'ikamidi, or ho'el. It's the same basic idea. Meaning, since it's okay in this scenario, therefore it's going to be okay in this scenario as well. So does Rava really subscribe to this kind of thinking? Vatanan, the Gemara now is going to challenge this. We're going to go totally off topic now. We're going to leave the world of Tefillah B'mikvah, but we're now just going to focus on this argument of Ho'el, of Mikamidi. Vatanan, achosha b'shinav lo yigame b'hem esachom etzava metabahu kedarko v'in misrape nisrape. Okay, you're suffering a major toothache. Now, dental care circa 2,000 years ago, okay, not exactly as sophisticated as nowadays. So back then, you had a toothache. You suffered from a terrible toothache. So what did you do? So you rinsed on vinegar. Okay, that was the prescription that you received. Can you do that on Shabbos? So now we know on Shabbos you cannot do any type of medicinal activity on Shabbos. If it's pekuach nefesh or even suffik pekuach nefesh, obviously we know you're allowed to. But if it's just to resolve a little bit of pain and discomfort, so you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Okay? There's an iser of refuah. However, we also know, we've seen this time and again, that if it's eating, just eating, but the benefit of eating is medicinal, that's okay. That you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Meaning the iser refuah on Shabbos is only for something which is exclusively refuah, but if it's eating and the therapeutic benefit comes as incidental, that's fine. So hachoshesh mishin of lo yigame behem esachometz. So if you have a toothache, so you can't just simply swallow vinegar. However, avametabuhu bedarko v'nisrape nisrape. But if you dip your vegetables or whatever you're dipping in your vinegar like you normally do, and you're eating the vinegar as you normally do, so then that would be okay. Good. That's one brisa. V'raminan Allah. Now on that, we're gonna quote now another brisa. Lo yigame apolate. The next brisa says, look, you can't put the vinegar in your mouth and spit it out. That's clearly serving as a medicinal function. But you can take the vinegar, put it in your mouth, and you could swallow the vinegar. That you're allowed to do. So So what we seem to have now is a disagreement between brisa number one, brisa number two. Brisa number one says, don't put the vinegar in your mouth. Dipping into vinegar is fine, but don't put the vinegar by itself in your mouth. Brisa number two says that as long as you swallow the vinegar, that's fine. So how do you resolve the two? So Abai's resolution, nice and easy. Abai says, ki tanan nami masisa megame apolate tanan. So Abai says, look, the first brisa, it's a Mishnah. The first Mishnah that says that you can't put vinegar in your mouth, that means you can't put vinegar in your mouth to spit it out. But if you put the vinegar in your mouth and you swallow it, that's fine. That's called eating, and that's fine. And yeah, you're going to be receiving some sort of fringe benefit from the vinegar, but that's fine. Good. So that's Abaye's resolution. But right now, we're not focusing on Abaye. We want to look at Rava. Rava amar filotema megameo bolea. So Rava says, no, you can swallow. You can put the vinegar in your mouth and you can swallow. And the first Mishnah that says that you can't is even talking about swallowing. So we're at a standoff between Mishnah and Brisa. Mishnah says that you can't put the vinegar in your mouth and swallow. And the Braisa says, no, you can. And the Gemara says, this is Rava's resolution. One's talking about before you dipped, and the other one's talking about after you dipped. As Rashi explains, one's talking about before you ate, and the one's talking about after you ate. Rashi explains this distinction. I'm reading Rashi inside. Kodem tibul, kodem achila, migameh uboleya. Before you're eating, you could swallow the vinegar. Drinking vinegar by itself, I have no personal experience with this, I'm just saying it because that's the pshat in the Gemara. Drinking vinegar in of itself, what's the appetite? Okay? You don't have to agree. It's fine. But that this is the Gemara's assumption. And so if it whets the appetite, so it's quote-unquote normal before the meal to just simply drink vinegar in of itself. And once it's normal, so then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos because, again, it doesn't look like refuah. However, after you eat, there's no reason why a person would be drinking vinegar by itself. So now Rav is arguing is that the discrepancy between the two brises, the Mishnah versus the brisa, and the resolution goes like this. Before you're eating the meal, you have a pain in your mouth, you want to swallow a little bit of vinegar, that's fine. After you eat the meal, you have a pain in your mouth, and you want to just swallow vinegar by itself, that's not fine. And the difference being, before the meal, it whets your appetite. So that's considered normal. After the meal, there's no reason why anyone would be swallowing vinegar other than for the medicinal purpose. Okay. So far, so good. Now, here's what bothers the Gemara. Comes out now that according to Rava, the distinction that's drawn between the Mishnah versus the Braisa is before eating versus after eating. And the Gemara says, now, let's see. Does Rava hold to this principle of Hoel? Because if he did, so then everything should be evened out. Im Isa, Nema Hol V'Kodem Tibul Shari L'Achri Tibul Nami Shari. Well, let's use this principle of Hoel. Since it's okay to swallow vinegar before the meal, it therefore should be okay to swallow the vinegar after the meal. So the Gemara now is just simply using this application of this principle of Hoel, and if Rava really held this application of Hoel, so then swallowing the vinegar should be okay, both before and after the meal. So the Gemara's response is, Hadar be Rava me'ahi. So the Gemara says, you know what? Rava retracted. Retracted from what? From his position regarding vinegar. Meaning, you know what? Once Rava subscribed to this principle of Hoel, so then he changed his position. And then he said, you know what, you're right. If you're allowed to swallow the vinegar before the meal, you're allowed to swallow the vinegar after the meal as well. So the Gemara says, okay, look, I understand that there has to be a retraction because we want Rava to be consistent. But why not say that he doesn't hold to the principle of Hoel and go back to the to Tefillah on Yom Kippur? Maybe Rava doesn't allow Tefillah on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, "Lo sakadach." No, don't think that way. We know that the conclusion has to be that you could tov on Yom Kippur. We just need an explanation of why you could tov on Yom Kippur. The only explanation that we can really offer is Hoel, the principle of if Shabbos you're allowed to tov on the mikvah. So then Yom Kippur, you'll have to tov on the mikvah. Good. So that's the only explanation that we have. You have to subscribe to this principle of Hoel. So now we go back to Rava regarding the discrepancy between swallowing the vinegar, not swallow the vinegar. So because he subscribes to this principle of Hoel, so it has to be that he retracts his position regarding swallowing the vinegar. It should be always okay on Shabbos, before the meal and after the meal. It happens to be, well, again, because Shabbos is more chummer. So if Shabbos it's okay, so Yom Kippur has to be okay. That's the general thinking. What bothered me, it's interesting, I thought you were going to go to the Tibul. Meaning, what's compelling to say that the before is better than the after? Or the after is better than the before? What leads the Gemara to the compulsion that, well, if I could do it before, I could do it after? Meaning, maybe go the other way. That I don't know. Okay, toveling on Yom Kippur, the Gemara just concluded, sure, no problem at all. Now, mind you, and Tosfos makes this point, this is not me talking, Tosfos makes this point, you know, toveling on Yom Kippur is totally fine. The Gemara's conclusion is, you're allowed to tovel on Yom Kippur, but you have to be Tamei, and, says Tosfos, the Tefillah has to be on Yom Kippur, meaning the mitzvah to tovel has to happen actually on Yom Kippur. Meaning, nowadays, we don't tovel on Yom Kippur. I know there are some who do, but I'm just speaking out, I'm not trying to be controversial. I have no interest in being controversial. But in other words, okay, some people tovel on Yom Kippur. But leave that aside. But let's say for example Anita. So Anita will tov on Yom Kippur. So no, Anita won't tov on Yom Kippur. Again, I'm just saying out Tosfos. Anita won't tov on Yom Kippur. Why not? Because Bizmanenu. It's a longer discussion. I'm just gonna say it basically, and then you want further clarification, come to me later. But nowadays, the women who are Anita toveling in the mikvah are not toveling Bizmanam. They're not toveling at the right time. They're toveling at a later point in time, based on certain chumras that we've adopted over the years, but they're not toveling at the right time. So now it's a question, toveling on Yom Kippur for a woman who's a Nida, or for a man, for whatever reason, he wants to tovel in the mikvah. So Tosha says, we won't do that nowadays because it's not tefillah bizmana. It's not a tefillah on the right time. So, yes, the Gemara's conclusion is that you tovel on Yom Kippur, but it has to be a tefillah bizmana in order to tovel on Yom Kippur. And by the way, same thing is true regarding Tisha B'Av as well. Okay, so anyway, so see Tosfos for more of a discussion. That second Tosfos on the Amud. We're going to go on in the Gemara. We are now at the two dots. Shemesh Mashikin as the mind bekli Evan. Okay, you're allowed to do Hashaka on Yantav. Again, let's remind each other. Hashaka is not tefillah. Hashaka is I have water and the water right now is tamei, and I want to make the water tahor. Generally speaking, by food, you cannot do that. You can't make food tahor. Once food is tamei, that's it. The end of the story. There's no happy ending to food. Food is tamei, it remains tamei forever until it decomposes. When then it's no longer food. But when it comes to water, however, there's a way of salvaging water. Water becomes tamei, so you'll be metaret. Not by pouring it into the mikvah. Obviously, that doesn't help you. But what you're going to do is you're going to take in a bowl and you lower the bowl into the mikvah just low enough so there'll be just a kiss of communication between the water in the mikvah and the water in the bowl. That's what's called hashaka from the word nishika. And then you take the water, you take the bowl out, and the water inside now is tahor. And it's not operating, we made this point yesterday, I'm just reiterating. And it's not operating through the mechanism of tvila. That's not toveling. That's rather what's referred to as hashaka. Rashi says it's a function of zriya. Basically, I'm replanting the water. Right? I have tamei seeds. I put them in the ground. And then they grow into new plants. Are those plants tamei? Of course not. Same thing regarding the water. The water is as if it's replanted in the ground, and then I emerged it, I took it out from the ground again. So I, so to say, I grounded the water, if you will. So under those circumstances, the water receives the tahara. This you're allowed to do on Yantav. The Gemara discusses. My avalomat bilin. Now the Mishnah says you could do a shaka, but you can't do tefillah. What does that mean? I'm a shmuel. I'm at bilin. That's the kli. Agav meimal the taro biyam tov. So Shmuel gives the explanation. It's very simple, meaning that you're allowed to do a shaka, as we just got done explaining. But here's what you're not allowed to do. Let's say the water in the bowl needs tahara. But let's say the bowl itself also needs a tahara. Or for whatever reason, the bowl becomes tame. The bowl itself also needs a tahara. So here's what I'll do, right? Smart guy. I'll do a shaka, and oh, by the way, while I'm doing hashaka, it happens to be the bowl's emerged in the mikvah, the bowl will also receive a tahara as well. Can I do that? That's the point of the Mishnah. That you're not allowed to do. The only thing you're allowed to do on Yantif is hashaka, but not tvila, even if the tvila was an incidental to the act of hashaka.
It looks like
tvila. It doesn't look like tvila. Say you could say it better. It is tvila. For the bowl, it is tvila. So the Gemara says that you can't do. So the Gemara says, good. So, mani masisan lo rebi v'lo rabbanan d'tanya. So the Gemara points out, well, now that we're here, so who is the author of our Mishnah? So we're going to introduce ourselves to a machlokas tanayim, and the author of our Mishnah is going to be, presumably, nobody. Detanya, let's see the brights inside. Ein madbil nasekli agav meimav v'latara v'ein mashikin asamayim b'kli evan latara divir Rebbe. According to Rebbe, I could do neither. I can neither do tefillah nor can I do a shaka. That's the opinion of Rebbe. V'chacham amor meim madbil nasekli agav meimav v'latara v'mashikin asamayim b'kli evan latara. And according to the chachamim, I could do a shaka and I could do tefillah incidental to hashaka. Okay, so now, according to Rebbe, neither. According to the Chachamim, I could do hashaka and tefillah. But mind you, not to be confused. Not tefillah in general, because as we just pointed out, the beginning of today's daf, that's prohibited, and meaning tefillah as an incidental to hashaka. I mean, they're happening concurrently, really. But the bowl itself requires a tefillah. There's water in the bowl. I'm doing a shaka and a tefillah to the mikvah. And tefillah to the bowl. So according to the Chachamim, I could do both. So now, our Mishnah, who has a split decision on the matter, so our Mishnah now remains in limbo. Rebbe says I could do neither. The Chachamim say I could do both. Our Mishnah says I can only do Hashaka, but not Tefillah concurrent with Hashaka. So who? Now we understand the Gemara's point. Who is the author of our Mishnah? I don't know. Mani, I Rebbe Kashi Hashaka, I Rabbanan Kashi Hatbala. So I by Zema Rebbe, V by Zema Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, truth of the matter is that we can resolve. Ibai zema rabbi reisha de braisa b'yom tov v'seifa de Shabbos v'kula masnisim b'yom tov. So maybe we could say that our Mishnah is really going like Rabbi. Rabbi of the braisa that we just quoted is talking about on Yom Tov. The seifa, the second part that says that you're not allowed to do Hashaka is talking about on Shabbos. And our Mishnah is talking about on Yom Tov, meaning that Hashaka, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, I can't do anything. Shabbos, I can't tov on the mikvah, and I can't do Hashaka as well, according to Rebbe. Our Mishnah is not talking about on Shabbos. Our Mishnah is talking about on Yom Tov, which, by the way, makes a lot of sense considering which Masechta we're learning right now? Beitza. So, right, our Mishnah is really focused on Yom Tov Halachas. Good. So that's one way to make the distinction. Now, why should there be a difference between Shabbos versus Yom Tov? So the Gemara doesn't really articulate why there should be a difference. Shabbos, again, has more Isser. It's just more. And so maybe the ban of toveling includes Hashaka as well. On Shabbos, again, the Gemara doesn't really articulate. But, okay, that's one way to say it. E by Zema on the top of your Testament Aleph, Rabbanan, E by Zema, Rabbanan, V'kula Masnisim Shabbos. Our entire Mishnah is going, is speaking about Shabbos. The Chachamim say that you're allowed to do both. You're allowed to do Tvila and you're allowed to do Hashaka. And that's specific to Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, I can only do Hashaka, I can't do Tefillah. Okay, and then, once again, you're going to have to clarify why there should be a difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, and the Gemara does not articulate. And oh, by the way, I'm making a long story much shorter. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rashi on the top of the previous Amud, where Rashi negotiates through not just one Girsa of the Gemara, but a second Girsa as well. For consideration of time, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. If, let's say, I have a kli that's tummy on Erev Yontif. So again, like we discussed now time and again, you can't tovel kelim on Yontif. What if it becomes tummy on Erev Yontif, and I'm running to the mikvah during Bein HaShmashos period? So the Tanna Kamma says you can't do that. Not during Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos, the twilight period where Safek Yom, Safek Laila, I can't run the keli to the mikvah. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Af Bechol Ein Matbilin Oso Mimnei Shetzer Cherev Shemesh. And Rabbi Shimon Shazuri makes what is a fantastic point. Why are we talking about Erev Yom Tov? This would be true any day of the week. Because remember, when I tovel clean the mikvah, two things need to happen. A, Tvila. B, Cherev Shemesh. The sun has to set. Meaning, after the Tvila, in order for the kli to receive a full tahara, I need the sun to set. So if I'm toveling during Bein HaShmashos, Bein HaShmashos is post-sunset. It's the twilight period where the day ended, but the night didn't begin. Okay, it's a limbo period. Fine. But the sun needs to set. And the sun already did. So if I'm toveling a kli during the Bein HaShmashos period, I may think, okay, good, I got it in just in time. No, you didn't. And so, yeah, right, you have another day to wait in order for the kli to become tahor. So, truth of the matter is, Rav Shimon Shazuri says, I would say any day of the week, don't tovel during Bein HaShmashos, because people may erroneously conclude that the kli is tahor, and it's not. Now, v'tana kama lo bai Erev Shemesh. Now, the Gemara asks, tana kama also doesn't require Erev Shemesh? Now, obviously, I mean, there's nothing to argue. The Torah says you need, when you tovel a kli in the mikvah, you need Erev Shemesh. So there's nothing to argue over here. So all we need over here is just a better understanding of the Tanna Kamma, where the Tanna Kamma says that even during the week, it's okay to tovel a kli during the Erev Shemesh period. Now, Ashkechizel, Rabban and Debe, Rav, the Asfah, Vikamri, Ben Machshavas, and Nikarz, Metok, Masav, Kamiflagi. So the Gemara over here is now going to try to explain what's the difference between Tanna Kamma and Shimon Shazuri. Maybe over here, a person's actions speak to how much he knows. So, for example, the person is holding a kli, not just holding it, running with the kli to the mikvah, and it's during the Bein Hashemeshes period. So, and the Tanakhama says like this: look, obviously he's running; he must know something. We're not talking about Erev Yom Tov; we're just talking about during the week. He must know something. He's running. It must be that he knows that he is on the clock, that he's running to the mikvah because he wants the kli to be toveled before sunset. And that's why he's running. And he'll know full well that if the sun already set and he toveled the kli, he's going to have to wait till tomorrow night. That's the assumption the Tanakhama makes regarding people. In other words, look at what he's doing. He's running. It speaks to the idea that he knows what he's doing. So, Umar Savar Machmas Malachto Dekarahi. And Rishim Shazuri says, no, it doesn't. He's running because he's got work to get done. And maybe he's just running just simply because he needs the kli and he needs work to get done. But not because he's knowledgeable about Harif Shemesh. Okay, so that could be one possible explanation of the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Shimon Shizuri. V'amina luhu ana, now that's one explanation I said, not me, meaning, but the apparently it's Rav. So v'amina an luhu ana b'machshava, so he cares me talking about stuff, dekule ama lo pligi. Ki pligi kegon di itme b'pachos mecha adasha. So the Gemara says, look, if the person's running, he knows. He needs Erev Shemesh. If he didn't make it today, he'll wait another day. We all know that, we all understand that. The issue over here was as follows. Maybe the kli became tamei, it came into contact with the sheretz. Eight shrutzim in the Torah where if the sheretz dies, its carcass is going to give off tuma, but only eight, right? Mentioned in Parsha Shmini. So the and it came into contact with the remains of a sheretz, but less than the size of an adasha, less than the size of a lentil. We know, we've seen enough Gemara together, where we know that in order for a sheretz to become to be a source of tuma, you need remains of at least an adasha. So here it came into contact, the kli came into contact with less than an adasha. And so here, what does he do? So he poses a shaila. Now you understand, certain shailas I avoid like anything because they're complicated and I'm not the Rav, and there's certain shailas which are not shailas. They're just simply nice, easy questions. Right? I'll give you an example. The Gemara gives this example. Our eggs parv. I'll handle that shaila. Right? I'll yes, eggs are parv. Okay, good. Let's move on. Okay. And I'll give a serious thought and okay, good question. Okay, eggs are parv. So in other words, certain things which are not shailas. This is not a shaila. Right, the guy goes over to the Rav and he says to him, look, this kli came into contact with sheretz remains, but it was less than an adasha. That's not a shaila, meaning that's just a halacha. Very straightforward, black and white. So the Gemara says, Mar Savra made the halo gamer, harishamish namilo gamer. So now, by him asking that question, he's showing a tremendous amount of amaratzos. He doesn't know. Okay? Not to judge, he just simply doesn't know. So Shimon Shazuri says, well, if he doesn't know about that, he must not know much about anything about Tumah Tahara. If he's asking us questions about Sheretz less than an adasha, so he also doesn't know about Harav Shemesh. So in other words, that's the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Shimon Shazuri. This particular Kohen, who is asking these kinds of most basic questions, if he's asking about Pachas Mecha Adasha, he doesn't know about Harav Shemesh. Therefore, you have to assume that this particular person is not knowledgeable. Don't let him tovel a kli during Bein Hashemeshes. He's just not going to know. And the Umar Sever, Hahu Delo Gamir, Haher Shemesh Gamir. And the Tanakhama's counter argument is no. Just because he's not knowledgeable about Pachos Mika Adasha does not mean that he's not knowledgeable about Haher Shemesh. Why? How can we assume he knows about one and not about the other? Rashi points out, Haher Shemesh is written in the Torah. Meaning you come to shul, you hear laning, and I know, disclaimer, you got to understand what's going on, but if you do that, so then you'll know about Harav Shemesh. The Torah says, you tovel the mikvah, but also you need to wait until nightfall. So maybe he'll know about Harav Shemesh, but maybe he'll not know about Pachos Mecha Adasha. Pachos Mecha Adasha is not written in the Torah. Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai could very well be that he knows about one, but not about the other. Okay. Correct. In other words, correct. You have to wait until the next night, until the sun sets the next night. It's not a problem. No, correct. It's not a problem. It's just that the discussion over here was about during the Ben Hashemeshes period. Do we let people think that Harav Shemesh is a good time to Tovel and it experienced Harav Shemesh? That's the discussion. And what the Gemara basically turned it into is a referendum of what can we assume people know? That was the Gemara's discussion. Matbila migav legav. Let's finish up. The Mishnah says that Iketovo migav legav, a strange terminology in the Mishnah. We left it unexplained in the Mishnah. Now let's explain it. Tana Rabbanan Ketza migav legav, Arotzalasos Gito agav kado. Vikado algav gito ose. So you have a kli. It's already tovled in the mikvah, but I tovled it for a particular function, and I want to redesignate its function, its purpose. I want to use it for another function. Now, do I really need to tovel in the mikvah again? Strict letter of the law? No, you don't. However, as a chumrah, I want to do it again. I want to tovel in the mikvah again, being now that it has a new function to it. So I'll tovel in the mikvah again, but this is a tefillah strictly lechumrah that you're allowed to do on Yantif. Ketza mechabur lechabur, hayocha bechabur zev, verotza lecho bechabur acheres, harishus biyado. You want to change chaburas on Erev Pesach. We know, right? Right as we sat down for the Seder just a short couple nights ago, so had there been a Beis HaMikdash, so we would have been assigned to a particular chabura. At this chabura that we're assigned to, so what do? We sit down and we eat Karban Pesach with this chabura. Before the shechting of the Karban Pesach, I can up myself up and join another chabura. But up to a certain point. After that, you're stuck with this group. So anyway, but let's say I'm already prepared. I told them the mikvah for this particular chabura. I leave this chabura. I want to join another chabura. Do I have to tell them the mikvah again? Again, a strict letter of the law? No, you don't. You're fine. But I'd like to as a chumrah, meaning that was a Litvish Chabura, I now want to join a Hasidish Chabura, I want to tovel in the mikveh, whatever. In other words, I want to tovel in the mikveh again, so that the Mishnah says you're allowed to do so as a Chumra, as a stringency. So in other words, if the tefillah in the mikveh is not really creating a Tahara, but just as a stringency, that you're allowed to do. Well, the Hav, I mean, truth of the matter is that I would have argued, what I say doesn't matter, but I would have argued a very strong Hav, Amina. You're watching somebody tovel in the mikveh. So, if he's toveling in the mikvah, I don't know why he's toveling in the mikvah. Okay, so if he's toveling in the mikvah, I'm toveling in the mikvah as well. If he's toveling his kelim in the mikvah, I'm toveling my kelim in the mikvah as well. So the havamina would be that once the chachamim ban toveling in the mikvah, there should be a blanket ban. And even though this person is doing it not really because of tefillah, but just as a chumrah, I would say, look, the chachamim banned it, period, end of discussion. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya of tefillah. So once again, just a quick recap. The Mishnah says that when it comes to kelim, you cannot tovel kelim in the mikvah on Shabbos. Four reasons that are given the Gemara. I may carry, I may squeeze, I may delay, and finally, near kemisakin, it looks like I'm fixing something. You yourself are allowed to tovel in the mikvah on Shabbos, and as the Gemara concluded, not only on Shabbos, but on Yontif and Yom Kippur as well, you could tovel in the mikvah. Yom Kippur toveling in the mikvah, okay, Tosos says, only tefillah bizmana. And finally, the last topic that we discussed was Hashaka. Hashaka you're allowed to do on Yontif. Maybe there's a distinction between Hashaka on Yontif versus Hashaka on Shabbos. Perhaps, the Gemara quoted a brisa of Rebbe and the Chachamim. And then finally, what about toveling during Harav Shemesh? So, in of itself, nothing wrong with toveling during Harav Shemesh, but do we suspect that the person toveling during Harav Shemesh, during Ben Hashemeshes, I apologize, toveling during Ben Hashemeshes, does he not know about Harav Shemesh? That was a debate and discussion in the Gemara. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow, totally new topic. We speak tomorrow about offering karbanos on Yantif. Okay, you'll see what I mean tomorrow.